time is 2:07. Currently, sunny skies, fair conditions in Wausau, temperature of 41 degrees. Happy Friday. I'm Chad Holmes with you for the next 2 hours. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And, of course, on the Civic Media app. Coming up in about 7.5 minutes or so, we'll have our weekly Wisconsin sports segment. Talk to Paul Micklin, talk about the end of a Marquette season. Wisconsin Badgers heading to the Final Four of the NIT. And also, we're only 6 days away from opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. So plenty to talk about in terms of Wisconsin sports. And we'll do that with Paul Micklin at 2:15. And then at 3:15, we're going to go back to a conversation that myself and Jeff Gress had earlier in the week with Newman Catholic High School senior guard, all-state guard, Mason Prey. Talk about the state championship won by the Cardinals just 6 days ago and a whole bunch more. That'll be coming up in hour number two of the program here today on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also, don't forget on Monday, we will continue our series of conversations with candidates for the Wausau School Board. And Lance Trollope, who is the board vice president, he'll be joining us in the first hour on Monday. So again, we'll talk to Lance Trollope. He is running for re-election to the Wausau School Board, and we'll discuss the issues of the board election, which is coming up soon on April the 4th. Again, big election day, spring election 2023. Lance Trollope joining us on Monday here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We talked a lot about the Wausau School Board election, but there's also a school board election in the D.C. Everest District. Obviously, not the same, I would say, hot-button issue, like the school school consolidation plan that has brought a lot of folks to the forefront in Wausau. But on April the 4th, voters in the D.C. Everest School District will choose two representatives from a field of four candidates. There are two incumbents looking for re-election, Board Vice President Yi Leng Zhang and also a board member Kerry Norbaum. Also two challengers, Darren Juno and James Yedis. And during the course of prepping for the show, I like to read a lot of different sources, and one of which is Wausau Pilot right here in central Wisconsin, the Wausau Pilot and Review, wausaupilotandreview.com. Great information from here in the Wausau area. And they had an article today profiling and asking questions of the school board candidates for the D.C. Everest School District. And the thing that jumped out to me is that three of the candidates who will be on the ballot on April the 4th, they responded to a Wausau Pilot and Review. The fourth candidate, Mr. Yedis, James Yedis, did not respond, according to the article. It says, Mr. Yedis did not respond to our invitation inviting him to participate. James Yedis has come onto the scene. If you recall back in the Community for All discussion when there was a major article that was put into the New York Times, James Yedis was prominent in that article talking about there's no need for anything like that, that he has never seen any sort of discrimination of any kind in Wausau or anywhere. And he's run for the county board. He lost. Now he's running for the D.C. Everest School Board, and he's on the ballot on April the 4th. The thing about it is, fine, James Yedis has his opinions, his viewpoints on different issues. But if you decide to get involved in an election, especially for something like the school board, I think it is owed to the voters and owed to the citizens to answer basic questions. And it's not as though the Wausau Pilot and Review was asking all sorts of, you know, gotcha questions. The questions were, and you can go to wausaupilotandreview.com and take a complete look at this, but they asked, what skills or experience do you have that makes you qualified to be a board member? The three candidates answered, what is the biggest challenge that the D.C. Everest School District faces today, and how would you tackle it? Also, as part of the article, what would you do as a board member to help attract and retain qualified teachers and other staff? What is your view of school choice? What is your view on banning books? Who should make those decisions? What are the literacy challenges facing students, and how would you address them? What role should the community play in supporting the education of children? What could the district do to improve academic achievement for all students? Can you explain where the money to fund our schools comes from? What will you do to ensure that all children get a full arts education? What would you ask lawmakers to include in the next state budget to improve K through 12 education in your district? Is there anything else you'd like voters to know? So no gotcha questions. And credit, and I don't know if it's really credit, but I think it's a bare minimum that the three of the candidates, Yi Langzhong, Carrie Norbaum, and Darren Juno, they answered those questions from WASA Pilot and Review. I think, frankly, if you're not willing to answer questions, basic questions when you run for office, the voters should take that into account in a very significant way. In fact, I would not be opposed to a voter saying, well, that person is disqualified, because if they don't have the respect to answer basic questions, let me know how they're going to be in office, I really would have a hard time voting for them. So again, just interesting. Have to take a break. Coming up, we will talk with Paul Mickling about Wisconsin sports here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Very busy time in terms of sports. As I said in the last segment, we're just 6 days away from opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. The NCAA men's basketball tournament continuing and a whole bunch more. And we're still waiting for Aaron Rodgers to be traded from the Green Bay Packers. But to talk...
You didn't mention the NIT.
I'm actually going to start with the NIT.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
I'm going to start there because I don't know if I should say this either. I was telling you off the air. There are things I probably shouldn't say on the air, but I sure probably shouldn't say this. But I find in a lot of respects... sports talk radio is as brain dead of radio as you could actually have.
That's not good. Isn't that what you do?
No, this is not sports talk radio. This is real talk radio.
Oh, okay. All right.
I used to do sports talk radio, and that's why I got out of it. But there was a question on one of the sports talk, Wisconsin sports talk stations, and they put it out on their Twitter account. And this was, I thought, the stupidest question. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of more stupid questions. But their question was, is it better to make it to the Final Four of the NIT than to the second round of the NCAA tournament? Is that like the stupidest question you can think of? I mean, there's no way you can argue that Marquette being eliminated in the second round of the NIT of the NCAA makes it for worse than Wisconsin going to the NIT Final Four.
I mean...
Oh, man, you actually have to think about this?
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking about, because we're not talking about the same thing. We're not. This is not the same.
But that's the question.
I know.
Is it better that was, would you, I wish I had the exact wording, but would you rather go to the NIT Final Four or to the NCAA, get knocked down in the second round? Which one would you rather do?
But that's not even a legit question, Chad. Because
that's why brain dead radio.
It's not because
talk.
You got to talk. There's a lot more that goes into it too. To the question, like, what did the team? Win the conference? Did they win the? You know what I'm saying?
Sports talk radio doesn't ask you to go.
I know. But I mean, to even ask that question. What I'm excited, I get to watch Wisconsin.
You got NIT fever.
But I don't like when people diminish it either, though.
By the way, how's that XFL playoff race coming? I was asking you about that. Can you break down the playoff race in the XFL? Who's got the inside track on getting to the XFL championship game?
But you know the people like you though, Chad, you're saying that the NIT is not anything. I don't buy that either.
I'm not saying it's not anything. I'm saying that for those folks, and I've seen others, these Badger backers who seem to be taking this joy that, oh, we're playing while Marquette's out. I mean, give me a break.
Okay, well, you know, Chad, if every person in this world that we listen to everybody, we'd be going insane. We know that. We both know that. This is the reality.
And also, really quickly, the fact that you're playing on your home court the first two games is a bit of an advantage, don't you say, you know, for Wisconsin?
Well, do you want to, we can sit here and talk about stuff like that. how is Michigan State only 4 hours away from their game and Milwaukee is farther away?
But that's, you know what I'm saying? That's not the same.
They had a home court advantage.
That's not, no.
They had more fans there.
That's not why they won. Marquette played a terrible game. That's why.
Well, I mean, but if you want to sit here and argue about every little thing, that's what
all
I'm
right,
saying.
Let's talk about the Badgers, because it was disappointing that they didn't make the NCAA. They have now won three games in the NIT. They're going to play in the NIT Final Four. Pretty good chance maybe to get a championship. What's your take? I mean, obviously, it is a positive because, for that group who had struggled coming down the stretch to be able to win, that's obviously a positive thing. But what else do you take from that in terms of the future for Wisconsin? Have you seen something during this NIT run that says, hey, this is something they can build on starting in the fall?
No, they look like the exact same team, unfortunately. the difference is they're closing games out.
That's true.
They've had
plenty of practice in doing that, though.
They have, yes. But, I mean, if you look back on their season, now, in the Badgers' case...
Yeah, the reason they're not in the NCAA is they lost too many of those close
Because
games.
They couldn't close them out. Right. So now, what happens if they do close two more games? If they had two more wins in the NCAA... during the regular season, they probably make the NCAA. They probably get a 7th seed or 8th seed or something around there. They lose in the first round, and they don't get. I don't think for a team like Wisconsin.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Oh, I can actually see that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I can see what you're saying.
For Wisconsin, this is probably a better path for them, for this group. This team. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I understand that.
I mean,
the thing about it is, every time you compete, you want to win. And so there's, you know, that the fact that they've been able to go out there against other teams that were in the same boat.
Yep.
And they're able to win the game, especially going out to Oregon. I mean, that was a...
What about Rutgers losing at home?
Right. But going to Oregon was an impressive win. That's a long road trip. I mean, that was.
I'll play devil's advocate. Oregon was missing a lot of guys.
Right.
But you still got to go win.
Right, right.
I'm not...
And the Badgers did what the Badgers did. There were times they looked pretty good, and then there were times they couldn't throw it in the ocean.
It was a stretch there in the second half that was really ugly. And they're down by 8, 45, 37, and they came back. I thought the game was over, and to be honest with you, at that time. Well, 8-point game is like a 16-point game when they're playing.
You have this button that you sit right next to when you watch games. It says it's over, and you're pounding on that thing so fast. It's amazing.
No, I was actually... because I was trying to see how I was going to spin this and say that, hey, it was still good that they got there. And then I was trying to think about you. That's what I was thinking about.
The NIT Elite Eight.
Yeah. And again, the only thing I don't is because you're minimizing.
I'm not minimizing
no,
anything.
No, I didn't say you.
Using the big you?
You, as in general.
Because
you can minimize a lot of stuff in life if you want to do it. You want to minimize, you know what I'm saying?
I got 2 hours a day to talk in the microphone. I minimize lots of them, I tell you.
But do you understand what I'm getting at with that?
No.
Marquette had a great season, but they had a disappointing ending.
Oh, boy, was that. Let's talk about that, because that game, because we have talked, you know, for the last month or so about how that team every game basically came out and played to a certain level. Boy, that game Saturday was probably by far the worst game they played.
Well, I wish that game was Saturday because it was Sunday, unfortunately.
Last Sunday.
It feels like a long time ago.
But that game, I mean, they just played incredibly poorly and they still had a chance to win it.
Correct.
But the turnovers, the shooting, everything, it was just a disappointing finish. But what I wanted to bring up is the idea that somehow that one game takes away a big chunk of this season in terms of the feel good factor. I don't agree with that. I still think it was an outstanding season for Marquette. I think they're still ahead of the curve on where we expected them to be in 2 years into the Shaka Smart era. But I think in this era in NCAA basketball, where the regular season feels like it's kind of meaningless in a lot of ways, if you don't do it in the postseason, it takes away pretty much all you accomplished during the regular season. And even, I mean, I saw, you know, a note that Shaka Smart, Coach of the Year, and it's got, I bet you for him, it's got to be, it takes away a little of the joy after what happened on Sunday.
Of course. You know, I'm sitting down there in Milwaukee and watching the news, and it was Wednesday, I think he got it, that he got Coach of the Year by the writers or the Coaches Association, yeah. Whatever, yeah. What was that.
And it's like the time he kind of, because it was so close to the loss.
But you're not going to hear me disagree with you, because I'm also the person that's sitting here saying that they want Greg Gard gone, and the guy just won two Big Ten Championship Coach of the Year awards.
Just last
that's
year.
Insane. You know what I mean? So I'm not sitting here disagreeing with you. I don't think it did. What I do think it is, you're saying 2 years in, unfortunately, we live in a society, and probably me included, is you got to do it now. And they had the opportunity, because think about this. They'd be playing Florida Atlantic. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was there. It was set up for them.
That is the aspect. There's another aspect to it where you see when you're the number two seed in a bracket and the number one seed gets knocked out of the first round. I mean, it's like, holy cow. It opens things up so quickly.
It opens it up for them. And Kansas.
And you have to say Florida Atlantic is the one that's taken advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were supposed to play the number one seed, even if they got past the number eight seed in the first round, in the second round, and the assumption is, hey, you know, get that first round win, it's a success. You can do the exact same thing and go away almost feeling good about it as opposed to feeling bad about it. I think that's the Marquette feeling, where they win one and they lose one. Hey, the last 10 years, that would have been fantastic. But this year, as you said, it was open. It could have been a Final Four team.
Correct, and very easily, and playing Michigan State and being with the situation with the guy they're playing, that it would have been, there was a little more to it. I understand most of those guys weren't there when he was there, but it's still that little, so there's a lot of factors to make it a little more, just a little more painting than right, normally, right. And that's what I'm getting at with that. If they would have made it to this last night, and they would have lost to a Kansas State team, I don't think we'd be having
this
discussion.
Three, yeah. I mean, that's one of those where, hey, if that would have been a game where both teams had overshot their expectations, and then one team was going to be a great story, the other would have been a good story for a great season. But you're right. I mean, the Michigan State loss was that's one, especially for the guys involved, for the coaches and for the players. That one's going to stink for an off-season.
For an off-season, because they saw the path there. And I don't think they're best. Unfortunately, the player of the year in the conference, who I think is a heck of a player, I know he hurt himself on the first-round game. I think that did hurt him. I don't think he was himself. He didn't play very well.
And then he got in foul trouble, and it was like, you know, it took the rhythm right away from the start.
Yep, and that's what was a disappointing part of it is – look at the Kansas State. I mean, they're the best players come. Even that guy, Tim, he's like 38 years old, I think, or whatever he is. But he had 36 last night. Right. You know what I'm saying? Most of these cases, the best players do shine. Even the UCLA guy, he had the All-American, he had 29 or whatever the case might be. And our guy did not. You know what I mean? That's the disappointing part of it.
At this level, you have to have your best players step forward. I mean, you've seen enough of that to make sure. And I guess the only positive out of what happened on the weekend was it did allow Mr. and Mrs. Hauser a trip to New York City, because they've been traveling around and we get to see them travel the world. And
I guess they're going to Boston tonight. If you watch the game, they gave them the play-by-play of.
You know, the thing was, there was something going on at the WIA last weekend, but I guess that wasn't worth stopping by.
No, I guess not.
We got to take a quick timeout. We have a news update coming up, and then move forward. I'm excited next Thursday to get ready for baseball. Are you excited?
And look outside. You're looking outside.
But even to watch it, just to, you know, see the Brewers at Wrigley on Thursday, that's going to be good. Hold your thought. we'll talk about that and more coming up. It's 2:28. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Down to eight, and the celebration will truly begin, and the Newman Cardinals are state champions. 66-54 over the McDonald Macs. The Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team is WIAA Division V state champions. Congratulations to all the Cardinals players, coaches, families, and community. Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is proud to be your radio home for Newman Catholic High School sports throughout the school year. And thanks to our Newman Catholic High School sports sponsors, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, Sun Printing, REI Engineering, and the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club. Congratulations again to the Newman Catholic Cardinals boys basketball team. First ever WIAA State Basketball Championship. And thanks for everyone for listening to our coverage of the Cardinals right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
You can be me. And I'll drink all the time. Cause we're lovers, that is the fact. Yes, we're lovers, that is the fact. Oh, nothing will keep us together. We can be them forever and ever. Yeah, we can be heroes just for one day. What you say, I say.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Before we turn away from the basketball, is Wisconsin going to win the NIT?
I'm going to say no.
Who's on the other semi? Because I know the Badgers.
Alabama, UAB, and another team.
Usually
there's
team.
Two teams. I want to say they're from the. I watched the game. Somebody from the Conference USA.
You do have NIT fever.
Well, it's somebody from the Conference USA. Because I want to say they have two teams, and that's where Florida Atlantic is from. And so obviously that conference must play fairly decent basketball.
Yeah, yeah. Must be rough when there's an NIT game on opposite an XFL game on for you. I mean, just. You must have picture in picture for those moments, right?
Hey, coming from a guy that likes make believe, this is over here. This is a championship's a championship, and again, I'm not comparing it to the NCAA tournament, but I'm gonna tell you that right now for this team and all those people that bash Greg Gard. Something like Greg Gard should be gone yet. No. I mean, this is just insane to think that this a guy can do. This.
And real quickly, the wrap it. When I see like on Twitter, you know, you follow high school coaches and stuff like that. When I see an actual high school coach say stuff like that, I'm thinking, how would you like to have that level of scrutiny based on after you went to 8-12 last season, you know, or whatever? It's like, I mean,
first of all, you gotta get off Twitter because that's what I did.
I know,
and life is a lot better.
But people shouldn't that are involved. And it should know better, I guess, is the bottom line. Because, I mean...
But they don't, though, Chad.
But they don't.
So that's it's all almost, you're doing is putting yourself through misery by looking at it, because it's not right. And I'll be honest with you, look how many coaches have resigned. Not because of, I'm not saying...
And now how many places have a hard time finding good coaches?
How are they going to find good coaches?
Exactly, because everybody has this, like you said, this have to do it today instead of building, you know, building over a number of years to make a foundation and not try going for the quick fix.
And in high school, you're dealing with what you got.
I know.
I mean,
you don't have a transfer portal.
No, there is no transfer portal.
Free agency.
There is no free agency.
Salary caps.
So you have to build from down below to get those kids ready. I don't care what sport it is.
Right.
And but again, if you look at those, there's a lot of girls basketball jobs opening in central Wisconsin. I mean, just looking the last couple of days. And again, I know that for many different reasons. But if you think that those jobs are just going to be filled automatically by terrific coaches, I don't know. You're asking for something.
You're going to need a wake-up call is the bottom line if you think that. So, yeah. Hey, baseball. Brewers. Corbin Burnes will start Thursday. They announced that he'll be the opening day starter. What do you think? I mean, during the offseason, I think there was a lot of little hand-wringing about the Brewers. The feeling that the Brewers were, again, not really, as you would say, going all in while they have a real good group of pitchers. And we're getting closer and closer to the point where these pitchers are going to be out on the free agent market and getting lots of money, and money that basically the Brewers have not been interested in paying. I'm not going to say whether they can or can't, but they haven't been interested in going into that pool up to this point. But as we go into 2023, do you think this Brewer team has the capability of doing better than they did last year, where they got off to such a great start and then faded down the stretch?
I mean, you said it all goes down to pitching, and they got the pitching. The one thing is, I don't know about that bullpen right now. They got some guys that they're looking at and trying to secure that spot, but I don't think you don't got that seventh, eighth, ninth locked up. You got Devin Williams. He looked pretty good during that the World Classic. Yeah, he looked pretty good there. So hopefully he starts off good. But then you got Bush, probably number eight in the eighth inning kind of type mm-hmm. of things. Seventh inning, that's wide open. It wasn't like it was last year and the year before. So now you're trying to say,
stretch these guys out.
Well, I know what you're going to say, get them. But you know they're not going to do that.
No, they're not.
They're not going to do that.
They won't get through the sixth, let alone the seventh.
Yes, I mean, they won't. It just won't happen. So I know that aggravates you.
My old man screaming at the clouds mentality.
Well, the only thing is, for the most part, I shouldn't even say that they're healthy, but they're trying to keep them healthy. They're saying that the pitch count might actually, the pitch clock might actually help these guys last longer because they're not out there as long. So they're gonna have to go and pitch. But it all goes back to pitches.
It's an interesting theory. I'll say that much.
Are you disagreeing with me? Because that was the GM's theory of the Brewers.
It's a theory. I don't know how, you know, standing on the mound for an extra 10 seconds takes the juice out of them.
They said the game's going to be 30 minutes less right. of them standing on their feet. Again, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
It does make sense.
It does not.
Are you disagreeing with the GM of the Milwaukee Brewers?
Being under the sun is going to take the energy out of you?
The longer that you're, I think if you do have a tempo, I mean, take a look at what's that guy, Suter.
Yeah.
I don't think he had that good of stuff, but what did he do? It was bing, 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 bing. The ball was coming.
And that does,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
where the pitchers comes out there.
It can work both ways, actually, though. I mean, it really can. I think that pitchers going quicker gives them less time to go through, I think, the strategic aspect than they would otherwise, because you don't have as much time to, you know,
think.
So I think it could help the hitters, actually.
But the hitters, though, they also can't get out of that box.
No.
You know, I mean, for all those years, how many times did those hitters come out and then they, you know, and look down the third baseline, say hi to mom and dad.
Just the gloves,
the helmet.
Dig in with your hand up.
It was, you know what I'm saying? There's something to be said. Now, they're going to have to get used to a different thing where they got to stay in there.
Yeah, the comfort of being in the box. I mean, that does go a long way. So
I think it will.
Bottom line, is this Brewer team going to make the playoffs?
Some odd reason, I'd say no. But
the thing about it that's concerning from last season is Chicago is so much better.
Correct.
Last year was it felt like kind of an opening. Because St. Louis was the only really good team in that division other than Milwaukee. It felt like, boy, you better take advantage, either win the division or get a wild card. And now it's going to be, I think, Chicago, and they got, you know, the financial advantage. It's going to be much more difficult from this season on for the Brewers to be a consistent playoff team.
I don't think they have the money to, if they get to July and find somebody that's a big-time guy to finish off.
They have the money. They just don't want to spend it. I really do. I think if you look at the amount of money coming in on TV, look at the amount of people that come through the turnstiles at American
Family. So you say Mark's is collecting money.
I think Mark he wants to have a nice profit. But, again, I don't see his books, but just based on things that I've read, that there's, and I think I'm not the only one that thinks that Mark Antanasio, a rental does not, you know, it's not like signing a guy to a 6-year deal. I mean, that's
correct.
That's the thing that's a little frustrating. I understand you don't want to deplete your farm system for a rental. But if you go back, you know, some of the greatest seasons the Brewers ever had, going back to 1982, they got Don Sutton late. And that got him over the hump. He won the last game of the season to get them into the playoffs, ultimately to the World Series.
Who was the owner when they got CeCe?
I think it was Mark. Might have been very... Yeah, because
I Mark.
Remember.
I know it was.
Because,
that's why I
because
asked
he fired Ned Yost a month before.
Yeah. So all no. this... I don't think that he doesn't try to do it. And the salary, obviously, over the years has gone up. And I understand
the inflation. Last season was head scratchers. I mean, it really was. I mean, I really have a hard time understanding what they did last season unless it was strictly financial.
Correct. And do we not... They might have looked at Devin Williams in a different light. They might have looked at what they were getting in a different light. Obviously, they were. And you're right.
And they were unlucky. I'll say that much, because when you got these guys from San Diego, the feeling was they were going to be able to do enough, I think, to secure the back end of the bullpen. In the end, they weren't.
No, and they make the playoffs, and they win a first-round game or whatever
right.
the case may be. You never know.
2020 is always, you know, correct. Great. But again, still, you talk about a move or moves that blew up what they
it
did.
Blew up.
What they did or didn't do blew up. So
I mean, you can be wrong once in a while, and I mean, I understand.
Hey, I thought today.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying. I mean, they make mistakes. They made a lot of good moves over the years, and obviously they're doing some stuff.
And the thing is about it, you know, big picture, I have really don't have a big, I'm not one of those people that thinks that we should go all in every year and then settle for 60 and 102 for a couple of years and rebuild. I would rather be, and I think that's one of the things I liked about Ted Thompson is the guy that he wanted to have a chance every year.
Correct.
And so I'm actually on that boat. But at the same time, I think that last season was, it was concerning on what Mark Antanasio's real end game here is for Milwaukee, because this, going back to what at the beginning, pitching. They're not going to have this kind of pitching. How many years did the Brewers say, boy, we need some more pitching? They've had the pitching. And they also, and I think real quickly.
Do they have the pitching, though? I mean, I'm hoping they do now. I like Wade Miles.
Yes, they got good pitching. But the key is going to be, you know, the bats. I mean, it really is. I mean, is Yelich going to have a year where he performs close to the amount of money that you would expect?
No.
You think he is?
No. You think that's happening, you're nuts.
You think he's sort of, you know, he is, and he's going to slowly fade away, basically.
I'm not saying he's going to get worse. I'm just saying this.
He's not going to be an MVP-level player.
No, that's done.
Okay.
That was a fluke, or if you want to say a couple-year fluke. If we can get him to 270 and, you know, 20 home runs and getting on base, that's what you're hoping for.
They'll be in good shape then, I think.
I think they would be, too. Yeah. I mean, they got that Voit. He's going to be a good DH kind of guy. They got weapons, but I don't think they went out and got a real true weapon.
Again, they're hoping some of these guys they kind of bought low are going to perform
high. You know. Yeah. Well, you know what happens when you do that? You get what you pay for 9 out of 10 times.
That's, you're kind of hoping. Yep, you're hoping. You're putting that chip down and saying, oh, I hope that the ball spins around and lands on my number.
And that's why that bullpen did not help. That's why that bullpen is going to be huge, because they'll get those pitchers will get in the 2 to 3 runs in 6 innings.
And that's going to be the frustrating aspect if you're a guy like Corbin Burns. If you have a 1.83 ERA and then in August you're at 10-10. I mean, because how many times do we see that?
You know that's going
to
happen.
It happens to a lot of teams, though. I mean, that's the way it is nowadays. It's got to be frustrating to be a starting pitcher in a sense, because you're kind of out there and no decision.
Correct.
Because when you leave the game in the fifth and or the sixth inning, you got 3+ innings to go.
Correct. And they're built, and how they got built is it's home run. It's a home run or bust.
Well, we're out of time, so we didn't even talk about Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to be traded by the time we talk next week?
No. If I was the Packers, I'd hold on to him as long as you can.
Until you get the price, right?
If you don't get a first rounder.
Right. You got to get a first. I agree with that. And the Jets don't want to give up a first. Well, too bad.
So supposedly the people in Green Bay driving home yesterday said that they don't think he's going to that the Jets and the Packers haven't talked in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So
maybe you were right when you thought, just have them stand on the sidelines. Who knows? We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Chad.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Chad Holmes back with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Time is 2:51, fair skies, 41 degrees in Wausau here in our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Looks like it'll be a pretty nice weekend, not a warm weekend. Temperatures slightly below normal, but dry conditions. So if you're heading south, if you're heading towards the southern part of the state in the next few days, make sure you check out your forecast because, again, it's been interesting this year. There have been times we've been hit pretty hard here in central Wisconsin. There have been times we've been hit hard up in northern Wisconsin, and a number of times haven't seen a lot here, but down in southern Wisconsin, getting quite a bit of weather. And again, I'm hoping that things warm up. I want to get out there and do some high school spring sports. In fact, our first high school spring broadcast is scheduled for a week from tomorrow, next Saturday. Wausau West baseball team at La Crosse Logan. The good news is in La Crosse, there's no snow on the ground. I actually was talking to somebody that knows somebody in La Crosse, and there's no snow, so perhaps they'll be able to get that one in next Saturday. So Wausau West, Pneuma Catholic, Marathon High School Sports all season long here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also here on Bull Falls Radio and Civic Media, make sure you mark the calendar not only to vote between now and March the 4th. Early voting is underway. If not, be like me, go on Election Day. As I've talked about in the past, I got this thing where I just enjoy going on Election Day. I like the feeling of even standing in line for a little bit, not too long, just a little bit, but going into the booth and voting on Election Day. But on the 4th of April, make sure you tune in throughout the primetime hours as we will have complete election coverage. We will have our entire Civic Media team on call on Tuesday, the 4th of April. In fact, I'll be part of the coverage as well from our Wausau studios. We'll have our anchor, Terry Bell, our news director in Madison. Also, Todd Alba will be part of the anchor team down in Madison as well. And we will have reports from all around the state of Wisconsin. It's really one of a kind here in Wisconsin. No other radio group, no other radio organization does it the way that we do it at Civic Media. We started with intense election night coverage back in November. We had big election night coverage for the primary about 6 weeks ago, and we will do it again. Complete team coverage of the spring election 2023 coming up on Tuesday evening, April the 4th, here on Bull Falls Radio, throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. And again, if you haven't already got it, get that Civic Media app. You'll be able to tune into this station, Bull Falls Radio, and all the other stations as well throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. So again, really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this one actually more than any other. I thought it was not uplifting going into November. I got to say it's been even worse. And I've been shaking my head and trying to think about how can we make it better? How can we make it where our elections are more uplifting, where we're looking about possibilities, looking about what can be accomplished in our state and in our country? Because after seeing how Ron Johnson ran his campaign last year and seeing how, frankly, both candidates have been running their candidacies and campaigns here for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, going to vote, going to hope again that Janet Protasiewicz can change the makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court so we can get some important things done, so we can go back to the drawing board on drawing lines to make more fair lines, make our democracy work a little bit better here in Wisconsin. In fact, make it work a lot better. But at the same time, if you watch these ads, they're so depressing. And I'm talking about the Judge Janet ads, too. I mean, they're just, you shake your head. You want more. You want, and part of it is, it's been proven that these ads work. We saw it with Ron Johnson. The guy had no record to run on, and he was able to throw a lot of mud at the wall, and enough of it stuck for him to get 50.4% of the vote and win by about one percentage point over Mandela Barnes. He should not have been rewarded for that campaign, should not have been rewarded for that ugliness. But in the end, he was. And we've seen it over and over and over again in recent years. And we're now seeing it on both sides in the state Supreme Court race. Again, I don't have the quick answer. One of the quickest answers would be some sort of campaign finance reform. We've seen it before. It got thrown out because of Citizens United. And there are too many people that are getting rich on the current system. And I will put media right in there, talking about the people that make the ads. They get rich off it. Everybody involved in these campaigns, the campaign advisors get rich off it, and the media groups who take the orders, where you got all these third-party ads, you got all these campaign ads, millions and millions of dollars for a spring election in an off year. I mean, it's obscene the amount of money that's being put into these races. So again, there's not an easy answer. I don't see any changes coming in the near future. And that is, again, a bit of a disappointing aspect to what should be uplifting. Because, if you're like me, ever since I was young, I loved elections. I love reading about elections. I love watching old videos of election night coverage. It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be uplifting. And this whole process right now is anything but uplifting. And I think, again, we need to talk about it because the battle of ideas, the ideas that can be put out there to change it is vitally important. So, again, make sure you vote anyways, because I think one of the factors involved in some of the negativeness of these ads is to try to keep some people from going and voting. Have some people stay home. As ugly as the ads are, still, get out there and vote. Vote early. Or vote on election day, but vote. That is the bottom line. Coming up, CBS News Update, and then hour number two of the program. I'm Chad Holmes. It is Friday. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Can it be that love comes out of care?